And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Jersey Boys theme for today. And these songs are phenomenal. Eric, you know these songs.
Is this the Bee Gees?
No. I think it's a group called Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
You know what? I'm not a big fan of falsetto voice.
Oh,
I love Frankie Valli's voice.
They always sang falsetto like the Bee Gees.
Oh, falsetto.
Well, of course, this song is called Dawn.
And a nice
Please
song.
Go away.
Has Greg heard this song before? I think he has.
You've never heard this song? Are you kidding me?
Oh. No.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I'm sure there's been a time where I've been in like some 50s, 60s diner type of place, and I'm sure it's on there, but I
Or you're walking through like Target or the supermarket or something.
You people have no culture. No culture at all.
Walmart.
No culture.
No, not Walmart.
No culture.
I'm really impressed, Joseph, that you know at a young age, you know all these
songs. I love oldies. Come on.
It's really good. Then you're going to love our guest who plays Dean Martin, Drew Anthony.
Yes. Well, and you know, you said it earlier that music kind of like changes our mood and all that stuff. That is why I love the music that we play on Breakthrough Entertainment. Every week I choose a theme, and you know, that's why I think of the movies based on these songs, and it brings you back to the time that you saw that movie.
It really does.
And you know, this brings all of our listeners back to another time. Like I said earlier,
another time, another place.
A
simpler time in life.
When the places were called Bakery.
Obviously, it was much simpler
Dunkin'
in the
Donuts.
Studio, too.
And you had claim checks, and you could ask for favors.
They
used to call me the Godfather. And never talk business outside the family.
Ooh.
I'm not kidding you, Joseph. You get one more chance.
And you know, another big thumbs up for the movie. My mom, she saw it, and,
yeah,
and she saw Jersey Boys. She loved it.
It was great. Yeah. Well, that was sort of her era, right?
I haven't heard one negative review. So if you've seen Jersey Boys, give us a call, 602-252-1480.
Or 1480.
Or 1480. I'm trying to give it slower to the people.
Yeah, but 1480. We are on 1480 AM.
I know
Am
it.
I right, Eric? Yes, Eric? Calling there. Oh, what's this? What was that?
Christopher Walken. It wasn't working out.
Oh, that was Christopher Walken? He was great, though.
It sounded like a bunch of angry people that didn't like the movie
now,
or something.
Now, Chip DiCarlo passed away, and some of the family members asked them to, you know, be respectful to him. And I thought he played a very respectable role. He was a nice guy, right?
He did a very good job.
I thought so. I thought he did a great job, actually. Such a great movie and play. Okay, back to Joseph J, we call him. JJ.
Joseph Gallardo. I don't know. What? Gallardo? All
that's
right.
That's an Italian icy.
It is?
Gallardo? Went from cream to icy.
Joseph Gelato?
Is that like Frozen? Well, I know
Frozen.
One of those banks. Okay. Elizabeth Banks.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about a few other movies that are playing in theaters.
Yeah, or drive-ins near you.
Yes. Well, there's only one drive-in left.
Yeah,
it's over in Glendale.
The Scottsdale one's got? When did they tear that down?
About a year ago.
Oh, no wonder. I was still making out in the back seat, and all of a sudden the fences went down.
Oh. And that was before Trisha? Oh, never mind. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. why didn't you just shut me up?
I was kidding.
All right.
Kidding.
Okay, sure. Okay, backtrack, backpedal here. All right, let's talk about The Grand Seduction.
It doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
Yeah,
need
that's
more cowbell.
Yeah, that one worked.
That was Christopher Walken.
I tried to do the more cowbell thing with one of my friends, because we've got a friend that loves lasers. And I said his motto should be more laser.
Well, is he one of those guys pointing the lasers up into the cockpits of airplanes?
He might be.
Oh, that's bad.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah.
That's like a big problem now. People are pointing lasers. I mean, I can't believe these little laser pointers
can go
that
far
up in the sky.
Oh, yeah, I hit the moon once.
You did?
Yeah.
How could you tell?
It reflected back to me, and it hurt.
There was a pilot yesterday before that got eye damage. He was 9,000 feet. 9,000 feet up in the sky. And somebody pointed a laser up at him and it got him in the eye.
Those little tiny lasers?
Yes.
Well, there are some that are better than others. Yeah.
Oh.
He's got like an impressive arsenal of lasers, and yeah, he's a big fan of them. And I know that at one party, I kind of burned my finger a little bit because I didn't realize.
You mean there's actually one that will burn you?
Yeah, he's got like really impressive lasers.
Is he 12?
No, he's
because I remember in like middle school, What?
I'm serious. The ladies are middle highly school, attracted maybe. To it.
Okay, well, no, I remember in, you know, I was 12 or 13, everyone had the little laser pointer and would try to, you know, in school, yeah. You know, teachers not looking or, you know, or we didn't have any hot teachers, but if there was, I'm sure kids would point it at the breast region. But since then, though, nothing is, I'm like shocked, like
there's
an adult
Africa,
with a little laser
and there's
pin,
Southeast
unless
Asia.
Using it for work.
Oh, there's the Himalayas.
There's the region.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no
What's the biggest mountain
for
in
us.
The world?
All right, too much.
Everest.
Oh, Everest. And there's Everest.
So you mean there with lasers it wasn't any grand seduction? Segway.
There was not, but
all
tell
right.
us about
but
it.
But there was the Grand Canyon.
Oh, God.
But we won't talk about that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the
That's
grand seduction.
That's only when she wore a skirt.
Wow. Okay, Taylor Kitsch. You know Taylor Kitsch, right?
He's
no,
good.
I don't.
Yeah, big
I
fan.
Don't.
Savages, he's
No,
great.
I don't know him.
Savages and also, of course,
me.
John Carter.
I don't know him.
We're telling you who he is.
Oh, sorry.
John Carter.
The movie with Liam Neeson, the Battleships.
Yeah,
right?
Battleship.
Oh, I like
yeah.
that.
Battleship. He's
and
the
he was
main
a,
guy, Dave.
He was also Gambit
good
in X-Men yeah. Origins Wolverine. He was Gambit.
Not familiar with these X-Men.
Okay. Well,
I will see them at some point.
He took the cards and he was like, he threw them and did really
I like that movie, but I don't remember him.
He was the guy with the cards. He was in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, the card guy.
Yeah, okay.
That's him.
See, there you go.
How come your voice went up? The guy with the cards. How come you said that?
You were lying.
I know.
You said it with a higher voice.
With falsetto.
Did you have high
in a world of high voices?
Ooh.
Oh.
There is one voice that stands out all alone.
All right.
Oh, Deliverance.
There we go,
now.
Falsetto. No. I knew it was coming.
A movie from Deliverance. A scene from what? Deliverance.
Taylor Kitsch plays a big city doctor in the Grand Seduction who lands in the lap of a small fishing village that must procure a physician in order to secure a lucrative business contract. Upon his arrival, the townsfolk rally together to charm him into staying. So basically, you know, they need this contract, but they need this doctor. And, you know, nobody is willing to be a doctor for this small town, this little small fishing village. And he comes in, and they put on this big, like, act, and everyone tries to, like, woo him.
I've seen that plot in at least two other movies.
Yeah, it's not the most original plot.
One of them was with Michael J. Fox, and another one I just recently saw.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
Okay. Well, this one's Brendan Gleeson is also in this one. He's a decent actor, right?
The English guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I like him.
Is he English or is he Irish?
Irish. English.
I think he's Irish.
I think he's Irish, yeah.
Oh, all right. We already did that and we were told that not everything. Well.
That was good. Do that review.
You
do
failed so miserably that we didn't do it again.
Both can do it.
We were told by our Irish friend that we aren't supposed to pronounce the oys as oys.
Well, right? Not just that. But
we said that it was highly offensive.
They were so upset by it that the leprechauns decided to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, which we'll talk about
we'll talk
a couple
about
months probably.
Yeah, we definitely will. Well, what did you think of the trailer, The Grand Seduction, Dave?
This is what I thought. I could not tell anything. It seemed disjointed, incoherent, possibly a sweet movie, but I had no idea what they were doing. It was confusing.
I wasn't seduced.
No. Well, neither was I. It was neither satirical enough.
It wasn't grand.
Not grand nor seduced. It's neither satirical enough nor cute enough, and therefore falls right in the middle of the two extremes. And if you're not laughing out loud or feeling genuinely moved, then you're more than likely just bored while watching these simple townsfolk try to woo a big city doctor who never exactly comes across as a real character. You know, it's really disappointing because Taylor Kitsch, as we've said, he's been in several movies, like it or not, Battleship.
Mm-hmm.
He's at least a really good actor.
He is. No, he does
and
good.
He's kind of like, he's got the on-screen charisma and everything.
Right.
But in here, he's just a plot device. This could have been anyone. I mean, this is really Brendan Gleeson's movie. He does a good job, and Taylor Kitsch does a good job as well, but he's just a plot device. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yes. Brendan Gleeson usually plays like mob guys.
Yeah, he usually
like
does,
Irish mob.
Yeah, wasn't he in Bruges with Colin Farrell?
Yes, he was.
That was one of the best movies.
He was the one who fell from the tower and went splat.
Yes. Well, there you go. Spoiler alert.
Oh, really? The movie's like eight years old.
I know. You always give me a hard time. Why can't I give you a hard time?
Well, Gleeson stole the show in The Smurfs, too.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Just phenomenal
great
work.
Great job.
Phenomenal.
And so, you know, there's great potential in The Grand Seduction for either comedy or emotional resonance. resonance, preferably both. But the only proficient part of this dramedy is a warm and welcoming setting, and it kind of does transport you to this little fishing village. So I will say that that part of it was good. The rest of it gets a thumbs down. So unfortunately, I cannot recommend seeing.
I'm pretty good at these trailers. Understanding, yeah. It look really incoherent.
Well, let's see what you thought of a couple of movies that we've kind of already talked about a little bit. I didn't get a chance to see them. The Fault in Our Stars came out a few weeks ago, and of course my friend Shannon gave it I think she said that it was 5 stars. She would have given it a breakthrough, and I know a lot of my colleagues loved it as well. It's based on a book. You know, let me tell you a little bit about the plot.
Twilight.
Well, kind of. Not exactly. Shailene Woodley, of course, she plays in Divergent. And Ansel Elgort play teenagers who, having met and fallen in love at a cancer support group, share an acerbic wit, a disdain for the conventional, and a love that sweeps them on an unforgettable journey. So, of course, they meet each other. They've got cancer, and they fall in love. And, it's kind of like their journey. So you saw the trailer for this.
I did, and this struck me differently than the last one, The Grand Seduction. There was a quote in the trailer that I think probably summed it up. "You gave me forever with a limited number of days," the girl said that. This looks like a great movie, probably a tearjerker, yet profound, meaningful, with humor, touching. One of those movies you probably can't stop thinking of. Joseph, am I close?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people loved this movie. I mean, I heard a lot of men were crying by the end of it, and I was slightly disappointed. I liked it. I thought it was a very good movie, but I did not cry. I wanted
you
to cry.
Insensitive no. person. You no, how you know can what? You not cry?
No, it's,
Joseph?
It's sad, but it didn't really touch me as much as others are saying that it touched them. And, I thought that Shailene Woodley did a great job. Ansel Elgort did a fabulous job. He's I know a lot of women were really attracted to his smile. He's got this very positive outlook on life.
She's always in movies like this. What was the other one? Something Now?
The Spectacular Now.
Spectacular Now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she does a really good job. She's a great actress.
She was in
giving,
The Descendants too.
Yeah, she was in The Descendants as well. So she is very good. And I got a chance to meet her a few years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And very beautiful young lady. And the movie, I am going to give a thumbs up. I'm giving a thumbs up to The Fault in Our Stars, but
it would have been a breakthrough if only you had cried.
Well, it might have. Yes. You know what? And that's the thing is if it's a cry movie and I don't cry. I mean, there's one part where I almost got a little bit teary, but it wasn't the main part of the movie. Huh. It wasn't the main aspect.
Is it when Willem Dafoe walked in, you're like,
no.
There's Paul Smecker.
And that's the thing, is that he's got a really interesting role.
Green Goblin.
Yes, he is in the movie. He does a great job, but it's a very strange, you know, I don't know. It's almost like they're taking advantage of the Make-A-Wish system in a way. Because that's how they meet him. And, I mean, yes, these cancer kids need the hope, and they need to, experience
life.
They look
pretty healthy to me.
Well, okay. Well, then we'll see after you see the movie what you think of it.
I won't watch that.
But if
Joseph,
people are crying, obviously something happens. I'm
but
not gonna
Joseph
tell you
J., what was the criteria you were using and what was the criteria the other men that did cry use that didn't make you cry? I mean, what was the difference?
I don't know. It just did. It didn't touch me enough.
Oh. I'm sorry. You were on it with a date?
We apologize. Not like Shannon, you weren't anyway. Touched. Yeah.
Was she sitting in a seat behind you or something? She wasn't close?
That's one of those things.
I hope you were sitting at the top of the theater.
It did not. I did not hear that until it came out of my mouth. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
that's
yeah.
Wow.
But no. Okay. So
Craig's trying to figure it out.
I did get, like I said, a little bit teary about a scene where because her character, Shailene Woodley's character, is very concerned that her parents are going to miss her and that they are not going to be able to go on if she passes away from cancer, and so she's worried about the people who are going to be left behind. Now, that touched me.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a very touching scene, theme, and I wish that they would have played that up instead of the romance between the two.
Oh.
And I don't know, I liked their relationship, but it wasn't deep enough, and I don't know.
You're restricted from sad movies.
But you know what? I'm not saying it's a thumbs down. I'm still giving it a thumbs up.
You know, I am just not jumping into the hype of everyone.
Yes. I'm still saying, okay, you know, by all means, go see The Fault in Our Stars. It might touch you more than it touched me. Chances are, based on my history, you will.
But and maybe that's the key, based on your history. Maybe.
Do you cry at movies ever?
How about Brian?
When's the last time you cried?
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time I cried, but I can tell you I cried in My Dog Skip because I love animals. I cried in A Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore.
That was good.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll think of some. We'll do a sad show on all the movies that I cried to.
Okay.
Yes. But, you know, back to my, you know, touching allegory or whatever, you know, it's a quote from Jersey Boys. It's a lot more fun when there's another person involved.
Yes, I remember that.
Bob Gaudio could tell
that. That's always the way it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it?
No, not always. No. Well, that could be a show, too.
Okay, we'll do
that.
No,
it can't be a show, can it?
Oh, Eric says no.
No show there.
Well, let's see if we can agree on 22 Jump Street. Okay. I know you guys saw it last week. You guys gave it big thumbs up, right?
Yes.
We did, actually.
Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill reprise their roles as police officers who, after making their way through high school twice, go deep undercover at a local college. Now, I recall you saying that this was better than the original, better than 21 Jump Street.
I said that.
To me, Greg? They're both outstanding. Okay. Maybe a little better in some ways,
and
but they're both great.
You both said that it was better than A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, I thought it was funnier. Yeah. Even though I liked A Million Ways to Die in the West, I just liked the season.
I thought it was close. I wouldn't say it is close.
And Eric, you're saying that I'm not going to agree with them?
I'm saying that I've seen neither one of them.
Okay. Well, you know what? Do you think I agree with you or disagree?
I do. I think you agree.
I think you guys are insane.
What?
This is a thumbs up. I am giving 22 Jump Street a thumbs up, but I laughed a fraction of the amount that I laughed in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Were you preoccupied in the theater or something?
No, there was no touching or anything.
He was eating
going
the popcorn.
On.
Yeah. Hey, I told you guys built it up too big for him.
Yeah, maybe that was it. And maybe because I love 21 Jump Street so much. Yes. I love the, you know, I asked you, is he going to, you know, you can't top Jonah Hill in the Peter Pan outfit.
But that wasn't my favorite part of 21
I know.
Jump Street.
I'm just saying that was funny. That was a very funny scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The car
Did
chase where they're both dressed
the
up and everything like that.
The car chase was good, yeah.
And well,
the things
chase
didn't
this
explode
just,
and
okay.
then the little thing explodes. That was great.
You know, I will say that the end of the movie, when they are in, where they go, to Mexico?
Yeah.
They're basically, sun's out, guns out, right?
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out. Spring break.
Yeah.
Dave looks confused.
No, I don't think it was Mexico.
Well, it was somewhere else.
Florida.
Wherever it was, okay. That was a great...
Cuba.
It was a great ending, a lot of action, a lot of comedy, but the rest of the movie was just okay.
How about the girl that was so funny, the roommate of his girlfriend?
Yeah, she was okay.
She was great.
No, I don't know. You guys...
Do it in Leprechaun Boy. Well, she was just great.
I just thought in general, the story, the way it moved now... I thought it was funny all throughout. Maybe only a few extremely laugh out loud type of scenes.
Like Million Ways to Die in the West, I was laughing out loud hysterically.
Well, there might have been a few more in that, but through this, just
even
throughout
the
whole movie, and just there's a little twist in this that really came out of nowhere. That alone, I thought was great.
But
and just the credits.
That's the thing.
The credits were outstanding.
The credits were outstanding. They name all the other
That could
other
do
sequels.
It on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the whole movie was like that with all that cleverness and, you know, that would have been great. But the movie didn't have that cleverness to it. And, I'm sorry. I'm giving it a thumbs up still.
Oh, there we go.
I would still say between the two, I would go see The Fault in Our Stars over 22 Jump Street.
Really?
But they're different movies, so you can't really compare.
That's way different.
Yeah, way different.
Way
so
different.
It depends on what you're in the mood for. But
that's like
I still
pizza
say...
pizza versus flatbread.
Next week,
no,
we might...
No, I'm kidding. Pizza versus lobster.
Next week, Greg and I might talk about our, you know, the best movies to date so far for 2014.
Yeah, we're on our halfway point, basically.
Yeah, we are at our halfway point. But, you know, next week will be our halfway point.
What am I, chicken and liver? I can't participate?
Well, you can if you want, but...
Oh, I'm not going to be here.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm taking it out of account. But Million Ways to Die in the West, I would say, is one of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Don't cry, Dave. You'll be at the NHL draft, so you'll be living it up pretty nice.
You're from Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, again, you know, it's, I'm giving Grand Seduction a thumbs down. Yeah. I'm giving The Fault in Our Stars a thumbs up, but not as big as everyone else is giving it. And 22 Jump Street a thumbs up, but not as big as yours as well.
So the hype machine on those two films, even though you still like them, it may have done the damage.
And see, that's why studios want you to go out and see the movies the very first weekend, because then
makes sense.
Really excited and there is no all this extra hype.
Yeah, right.
You know, I saw it after the fact. I've heard several stories about both movies. You know, and of course, I go and see Jersey Boys before, you know, before everyone else has seen it. And, you know, I loved it. Like I said, still not
great.
A breakthrough, but I loved it. So I still say go see Jersey Boys. But we still have one more movie to talk about at the end of the show, Ping Pong Summer. But, you know, before we start playing our song, I want to show you something.
Ping
Hold on.
Pong.
Yeah, I want to see what do you have? Bong Pong? What's it called? Oh, you got a ping pong. Do you have another paddle?
No.
Oh, well, how am I going to play?
Can you hear it in the microphone?
Here. I can hear it a little bit.
Yeah.
Can
you hear it? You got it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, what a hit. What a hit. Oh, his ball's lost.
My
ball's
lost.
So what are you doing?
Dave has the third one.
I brought my ping pong and paddle as a visual aid for because we're on the radio. We need...
Why are
just
you
bring that mic over here? And
why
I'll,
are you doing
turn
that?
It on and you can right there, that mic right there.
What is this unrehearsed business here?
You're not doing what I'm telling you
what
to
do. You mean?
Do.
Yeah,
he is.
No,
there
you
go.
Now.
Yes, he
like
is
that.
Obeying Eric's authority.
I'm not that good at ping pong.
Yeah, you're doing. Oh.
You're right. You're not.
There goes the ball.
I'm not that good.
What are you doing? What is that about?
Well, the movie's called Ping Pong Summer.
So you had to demonstrate that.
He's juggling his ball.
Why? Because, I want to know.
Because it's fun.
Young Joseph?
It's called We're Having a Party.
It's called Theater of the Mind.
I'm trying, wasn't that kind of neat to play the ping pong in the microphone?
Yeah, but I wanted people a paddle. We could have hit it back and forth.
Well, I know. You could use the table right there. Set up a little tiny net.
Oh, my God.
You could have used your computer screen as the net.
Oh, man, that would have been good.
Well, there's still time.
I'm bummed.
We can do that during the break because we've got, after the break, we've got writer-director Michael Tully for Ping Pong Summer. And right now, we got Big Man in Town taking us into the break. I believe this group is called Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Oh, that's a good song, too.
Yeah.
Wait, has Greg heard that song? No, I don't think he has.
I don't even know this one.
I don't think I know this one either.
Yeah, I'll be a big man in town.
So we're not going to sing this
one.
Not
this one.
But there will be others.
There will be another one.
Have we, what's left?
I'll be back down to my last penny. Yeah, well, there's a lot. You know there's got some great songs.
We got a lot. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Sunny, hot Phoenix, Arizona, I might add. What, about 107?
I opened the door a minute ago, and it, like, a big gush of hot wind just hit my face.
Yeah, hey, very hot.
Do you know this song, Dave?
This is Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons Live.
Good guess. Debuting today on 1480 KPHX.
What
new
song is this? What is
Begging.
It called? Oh, that's Jason Kappas' favorite song.
Oh, yeah.
Begging.
Begging.
Oh, we're begging.
You know, I like begging strips.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good for people, right?
I like those? When women begging.
Yeah, real good. Because, like, you know, bacon's bad for you, so you eat the begging strips instead.
Really? You can bring home the bacon, though.
Yes.
You can fry it up in a pan.
Yes, and then I get touched.
Because you're a woman.
What?
What? You're begging for... You're cruising for a cruising.
Before we bring our guest on, let me give this one last shot, okay?
Wait, really?
I'm going to give this.
The ping pong?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, there you go.
14 love, 15 love, 16 love, chuckle 21 that. 19, 21, 22.
Oh, I
that
lost
was a
it.
Ping pong.
Okay, of course. That was, I was playing ping pong with myself. It's always more fun with someone else. But we could do it ourselves as well. And right now we have on the writer and director of Ping Pong Summer, Michael Tully. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'm happy to be speaking to you.
Yes, we're very happy to have you on today. And let me tell our listeners a little bit about the movie. Came out yesterday locally here at, I believe, the Harkins Valley Art, but it's also available on video on demand, of course, on iTunes and all that great stuff. But, you know, it's all about a shy teenager who, during his family's 1985 summer vacation, makes a new best friend, experiences his first real crush, becomes the target of rich local bullies, and finds an unexpected mentor in his outcast next-door neighbor. And, you know, of course, this all is wrapped around him learning how to play. Well, he's always had this love of ping pong, but he really knows how to play ping pong after the events in this movie. So, you know, Michael, tell us a little bit about how do you, you know, where did this movie come from? Do you have a love of ping pong? Is that, would that be accurate?
Oh, yeah, I was born with a paddle in my hand. No, that's not true. But, yeah, I love ping pong from an early age. And I think the quickest way to describe Ping Pong Summer for me is, like, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, I wasn't a cinephile, so I wasn't watching art films and documentaries and all that stuff. I was going to the local video store and renting VHSs of, like, Summer Rental and National Lampoon's Vacation and not even The Karate Kid, but the knockoffs, like No Retreat, No Surrender and stuff like that. So what I wanted to do was to make a movie that was kind of a love letter and a tribute to my own upbringing, my own sort of normal, middle-class, not dangerous upbringing, and insert that into the movies that I loved unironically as a kid, like a No Retreat, No Surrender. So you know, when you describe it, it sounds maybe formulaic, we've seen it before, but what my hope is we did some things differently that will make it really specific and entertaining for folks. And just a throwback, you know, it's kind of crazy how Casey Kasem passed away very recently, and it was a really important gesture to have the long-distance dedication included in the movie, because that was something I felt like my family would be, like, arguing in the car, but then the long-distance dedication would come on, and we'd all, like, hold hands and kumbaya and, like, listen to this dramatic tale of hope and survival that Casey would tell every, two times every episode, I guess, he would do every week.
You know, Michael, this did, you mentioned Karate Kid. That's what it reminded me of. It's, you know, obviously a different sport, but the whole general theme, the general feel to the movie was like the Karate Kid. You know, there was bullies in the Karate Kid. There was bullies in your movie, and, you know, how you overcome that, what you do. Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah, I mean, it was the template. You know, I think a lot of the movies that I'm realizing I, as a filmmaker, like, I mean, I'm a nerd, and I watch hundreds of movies a year. I write about them for a website called Hammer to Nail. So I'm really immersed in cinema, and I feel like, you know, maybe there's a movie like an Under the Skin or something that came out this year that is just truly feels like next level of cinema, like Stanley Kubrick, where you wonder what brain made it. But most movies were telling the same stories over and over again. And, you know, the sort of template is formulaic, but you hope that you inject something very personal and unique within that. So to start, to have the starting base of The Karate Kid, it just feels like, or like A Summer Rental, you know, all those 80s movies have those sort of archetypes. And for me, the fun thing was to sort of do something that felt familiar, but if you dig a little deeper, I like to say this movie is both completely normal and totally abnormal at the exact same time, which is weird for viewers, because you'd say, oh, we've seen this before, why do I need to watch it? But if you really sit down and sort of let its rhythms work on you, hopefully it'll feel like a different approach to the same material.
Now, Michael, you had, of course, two great actresses, I thought, Susan Sarandon and Leah Thompson in the movie.
We've interviewed Leah before.
Yes, we have, and met her at the...
She's awesome, man. Oh, she's the best.
Oh, she's great. We met her at the Phoenix Film Festival as well. And how was it to direct such great actresses? Are they really receptive? Do they add a lot? Their own innovations, creativity? How would you describe it?
Yeah, you know, the last movie I made, I directed myself with a beard, and I'm not an actor. So to go from that to Oscar-winning Susan Sarandon, iconic Leah Thompson, let's maybe say luckily that this didn't happen to me the year I got out of film school when I was in my 20s, because I probably would have been crapping my pants and a little bit more nervous. But the beautiful thing with actors like that, and maybe, you know, if you guys deal with them and talk to people, from far away they seem like unattainable and not normal people. But then when you meet them, and as long as you share a similar vision, the hope is that you're hiring people who are smarter than you are, and they can bring some life into it. So, like, for example, Susan was the one who came up with the idea of scaring off the bullies with a real stinky big fish. I had written that as, like, a weapon, but then you're like, that's too ridiculous. No one's going to believe that. It's like, she's not going to chop these guys' heads off, you know? So, like, for her to have a shotgun or a machete would have been stupid. So I frankly asked Susan, I was like, what could we do that would be sort of different here? And she's like, what if it was a stinky fish, you know? And at that point, you're like, thank you, Susan Sarandon. You have a career for a reason, because she's really engaged and doesn't want to be told exactly what to do. And I, as a director, don't want to tell, even with the kid actors who'd never acted before. Some of my favorite lines in the movie are were improvs from the kids in rehearsal. And it's just like, for me, the idea is you have a game plan, you know what you want to do, but then when Leah Thompson comes in, and what's so great about Leah is she doesn't even have to talk to be funny. She has this really natural gift of just, like, one turn of her eyeball can make an audience laugh, which, you know, that is a freakish gift to have, and it's why she's been working for so many years.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a Ping Pong Summer is a smaller production. Of course, it's not a big studio, one of these big blockbusters.
Gravitas.
Gravitas Ventures, of course. They've got a lot of great movies that they release. And, of course, but, you know, how did you get these big actresses, especially Susan Sarandon? You know, was it any, like, friendships involved? Because, you know, how'd that happen?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Aside from the $20 million check that I wrote her, which really helped get her on board. No, that's not true. it really was. I am friendly with Jay and Mark Duplass. I don't know if you know the Duplass brothers, but mm-hmm. they direct lots of movies. They have an HBO show coming out, and they directed Susan in a movie called Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Yes, one of my favorite movies of all time, yes.
Oh, well, then I guess, oh, that's wonderful. But so anyway, I'm friendly with those guys, and I wrote Jay particularly an email, and I said, how is Susan Sarandon to work with? Because, you know, I just don't want there to be a hierarchy on set, even though I'm the director. I used to PA on movies when I got out of film school, so I feel like everyone is there for a reason, and no one's better than anyone else. And Jay vouched for her. He said she was really cool, she was down to earth, and she was great. And he's the one that sort of wrote her an email. I pitched him on the project. And then I don't know if the listeners know that Susan Sarandon calls herself a ping pong propagandist, and she's actually the co-owner of a ping pong franchise called Spin, which is a club that started in New York, and now there's a handful of them, and they seem to be taking over the world. So, of course, when you're coming up with your mentor figure and you want to make it a female as opposed to the usual male, and then you think an actress of an age range who's a really good actor and understands comedy and is the co-owner of a ping pong club, you know, long months of research kept coming back to one name, Susan Sarandon. But if I didn't have that direct link with Jay Duplass, I think it would have been another script in her pile, because she admitted that. She said the Jay recommendation was very big for her, because you can only imagine how many, like right now, since we've been talking, Susan Sarandon's been offered 47 film projects, and she just doesn't have time to weed through them all. So if we didn't have that connection to Jay, I really don't know if it would have happened. And that's what triggered everything. Once Susan committed verbally, then we were able to sort of reach out to the agents of John Hannah and Leah Thompson, and it made the project seem much more real to them. And it wasn't just a weirdo who's been trying to make this strange 80s movie for 20 years shooting in Ocean City, Maryland. It sort of felt like, oh, this is a real movie. Yeah. So Susan is really the one who made it real for all of us.
And you know, the Susan Sarandon, we're going to see her again in a few weeks, of course, in Tammy with Melissa McCarthy. So much more to see of her. And my mom was telling me that she and her sister, my wonderful Aunt Cindy over in Illinois, when they were growing up, they would love to play ping pong at one of their relatives' table, their ping pong table, and at their house. But this has a really unique 80s vibe to it. What steps did you take as a director to ensure that this really looked like it was in the 80s?
There are two huge steps. The first is shooting on film, which I don't know if you guys have heard of this thing called celluloid, which is what motion pictures were shot on for about 100 years, and now they don't do it anymore. And I think digital is great, but also it's like, if you want to make an 80s movie, the texture, I think viewers, even if they're aware of it or not, subconsciously you're like, why does this feel, you know, you say that word, why does this image feel like an 80s movie? It's because we shot on super 16 millimeter film. And then shooting in a town that is preserved in time, Ocean City, Maryland, a lot of the locations that I wrote for and that we shot at, I have family photos of me from the 70s and 80s, and things have not changed one bit whatsoever. So those two initial things, like if I tried to make a period piece about New York City from when I moved there in 1998, I couldn't even do it now because the world has changed so much. But with Ocean City, they preserve it. And we reference a lot of like family photos. We weren't referencing movies from the 80s, like the John Hughes stuff. And I love all those movies, but I think they were even kind of a little stylized adaptation of what the world really was like. So with our department heads, we said, let's make this feel not like a documentary necessarily, but let's just underplay it as opposed to overplaying it, because the hair was already weird enough. The parachute pants were already gaudy and weird enough. So to like turn it up even more, it just would have turned it into like a live action cartoon. But I'd say shooting on film is one thing that makes your movie feel more 20th century for sure.
Very good point. Very good point. And finally, Michael, of course, we're talking about Ping Pong Summer. If viewers were to come away from the movie after they see it with one general theme, lesson, message, idea, what do you really hope that that ultimate takeaway for viewers is?
You know, that's a tough one to ask a filmmaker, and I'm not going to try to be Mr. Evasive, pretentious guy, but I ultimately think that I hope people appreciate the earnestness, because it's rooted in a love of movies that maybe you would call bad movies. It's a tribute to bad movies in a way, but it takes itself very seriously and earnestly, so it's a weird alchemy. But what I really hope is that people just sort of sit back and enjoy a movie that's a little more leisurely poorly paced because the edits back in 1985 were that, you know, movies weren't as fast as they are now, and that was one thing we made it a point to do. And then I hope really ultimately that people will get out of the movie theater and then want to go back and dig in the crates and pull out their old rap tapes from the 80s and then get their old ping pong paddles and go out in the garage or the basement and fire up some ping pong, have a session.
Yeah, you definitely got me to bring my.
I'm in.
Yeah, I definitely got my ping pong paddle and ping pong ball out, so I'm going to do that later this afternoon. And but I also want to say that your cast was terrific. I love that picture that that they took out on the beach. Just an iconic shot.
Yeah.
That was just brilliant. All the expressions on each and every one of their four faces was terrific. And we'll be talking a little bit more about Ping Pong Summer a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, all of our listeners, check it out at the Harkins Valley Art. Started yesterday, also on video on demand and iTunes and all that great stuff. And again, we want to thank writer, director of Ping Pong Summer, Michael Tully. Thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, we really hope that you'll join us again soon. If you're ever in Phoenix, let us know.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It's really, you know, little movies like this need all the help we can get. So I really appreciate you guys doing this. And I hope people check it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. And have a great rest of the weekend.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, great. So like I said, we'll be talking a little bit more about it. I'll give my review, and I know that you saw it as well, Dave, so you'll
tell us what you
thought.
We'll give our reviews, yes, no doubt.
And, yeah, so let's go ahead and stay just a little bit longer. This is
just a little bit longer.
This is a little bit older.
Know this one.
You know this one? This is a little bit older of a song.
It is?
Yeah, this is Stay. It's by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. They just made a movie about
who?
It. But Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, they just made a movie. It's called Jersey Boys, I think. Yeah.
Not familiar.
I think that you got a bunch of thumbs up, you know, in the Breakthrough Entertainment family. Love this movie. Jersey Boys, go see it. We're celebrating it today. But after the break, we've got an in-studio guest. We're going to be celebrating another movie called 50 to 1.
I can't wait for that, I got to tell you.
And our listeners can meet the director of this movie as well, so we'll give you all the details.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com. Let's hang on, you want me to go?
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is our Jersey Boys special.
And of course, Jersey Boys Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons bring us into this segment yet again. Let's hang on. It's a really good song. This is one of my favorites.
Excellent song. He's done so many great songs. It's hard to count all of them.
Yeah, and you know, my favorite song of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is actually the next song we'll be playing, so you'll find out.
Oh,
soon.
Good. Is that where you're going to sing along?
We'll see. We'll see.
A sing-along.
No. We'll see.
No sing-along.
Hey, I get a pass. I get a pass.
Hey, Greg's not here. We could sing as much as we want.
And Greg's not here because we got two in-studio guests right now.
Yes.
And, you know, they actually know Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, or Frankie Valli, but we're going to talk to them, you know, primarily about a new movie that's coming here, or it's actually started playing here yesterday. It's called 50 to 1, and we have a writer, or co-writer and director and co-producer, Jim Wilson, and also, who else? We have the...
Faith Conroy.
Faith Conroy.
Yeah, I'm
who
co-writer,
is
co-producer.
Co-writer, co-producer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And, you know, so it's all for this new movie called 50 to 1. It's, you know, tell us a little bit about the movie. I have the synopsis, but in your own words, what is it about?
Yeah, 50 to 1 is the true life story. It took place 2009, so just 5 years ago. This unheralded racehorse named Mind That Bird won the Kentucky Derby. It was the most amazing race I've ever seen. I've owned horses for 25 years in Los Angeles, raced around the world, made documentaries on racing and all kinds of movies, but I'd never seen a race quite like this. So it's about this diminutive horse that went off at 50 to 1 odds. The cowboys that came out of Roswell, New Mexico, unheralded as well. They were 0 for 33 that given year. So this is really about real underdogs making it and trailering their horse cross country to Kentucky. Bit of a class system film as well, but they took on the blue bloods of Kentucky and kicked their ass. So it was a really inspiring picture.
And of course, the horse Mind That Bird also did, I think, was second in the Preakness and third in the Belmont, I believe.
You know, you're racing, yeah. So,
yeah. Which is phenomenal, if you think about it.
Which is phenomenal, especially a horse. I mean, there are horses like this year, California Chrome, that everybody sort of knew going into it, already won the Sandy De Derby, and coming into Kentucky was a favorite. I mean, this horse was not talked about by anybody. They had no jockey when they first went to Kentucky, and they had nobody in mind. And the horse goes off at 50 to 1. There wasn't any speculation this horse would run in the money, let alone blow the field away. So it's a real underdog story.
And there's more to the story, too, that I was reading that it's only one of nine geldings to win the Kentucky Derby, and the only one since 1929. I mean, that in itself is just mind-blowing, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, well, statistically, there's a lot of things that Mind That Bird did that no other horses have done. In fact, he was only a two-year-old when he ran the Kentucky Derby. Wow. And I don't know when the last one that was, because they're for three-year-olds, but his birthday wasn't until after that first Saturday in May.
Were you at the Kentucky Derby this year?
I was at the Kentucky Derby this year.
I was there, too.
I didn't see you.
I saw you, though.
He was wearing a hat.
There were only 150,000 people, and I don't know how I didn't see you.
That was huge. It was my first time.
Faith and I were there.
That was sort of cool, though, right?
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, nice weather, too. Beautiful
weather. Great weather, yeah. You never know what you're going to get there in Kentucky, but it was a beautiful day, and
beautiful.
Yeah, that was
something. That was great. I'm going to go back every year.
Yeah, the film had just opened there in theaters, so we were playing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we were playing Kentucky, so it was nice. Churchill Downs threw us the museum. We had a big party there and press conference, and so the film was playing throughout Kentucky.
So, I'll go ahead, Joseph.
I was going to say that. So you said it was in Kentucky, and you're taking the movie around the country. What number are we on now? How many cities have you gone to?
Yeah, I don't know city wise. I think we sort of hit an initial seven states. We started out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're actually on a bus for 6 weeks,
and
we traveled with our cast. Nine of us, Faith, myself, total of nine of us, and we went 15,000 miles, crisscrossing seven states, kind of following, mirroring the trek that they took with Mind That Bird.
And then you ran for president. No,
we didn't do that. That's coming up. 50 to 1 translates to 50 states here in beautiful America. And we'll be running, I think it'll take a year.
And I'm going to vote for you.
And you're my vice president.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. We're going quickly.
Don't send me to Iraq, though.
Yeah. No, we're not. No, we're not fighters. So, but by and large, we opened seven states, and now we're on about state 15 or 16. So this is one of those old rollouts that you used to do in the 70s and 80s.
Which is sort of cool, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a great way to go. Look, if a studio doesn't pick you up, which they didn't in this, most of my films have been made for studios. They all have been.
And that we need to mention Dances with Wolves. You're the producer and the bodyguard. I mean, two phenomenal movies. Dances with Wolves, the highest gross Western ever in the history of
Dances.
Film.
Dances. I started a company with Kevin Costner in 1988, and our first production was Dances with Wolves. So that was
incredible.
25 years ago this year. So we made many films together.
Yeah,
over those,
he's such a great talent.
Yeah, no, Kevin really is. Yeah,
incredible. I had a question. Have you spent time with Mind That Bird? Have you met the horse? Have you spent time to get a feel for it? And
yeah,
Faith,
absolutely.
A question for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've spent quite a bit of time with him. We found out that he was Houdini to start with, and he was actually escaping his stall. This is, you know, in the movie you see that he does this sort of thing. So we were able to get to know him. We got to know the real guys, Mark Allen, the owner, and co-owner with Doc Block, Leonard Doc Block. And yeah, he's great. He's such a character, and he actually was making appearances along the tour with us, which was a great deal of fun. Yeah, he and Mark had been on the road with us, and he would, you know, come into the derbies and the different tracks that we stopped at and had events at. And we just saw him last weekend. We were up in Grand Junction, and they had a big event up there, premiere for opening the film in Colorado. And Bird came up, and Mark came up, and his sister Tammy, who lives up there in Grand Junction, hosted the big event.
That is so cool. Yeah. Do you know how the horse got the name Mind That Bird?
Yeah, they put two names together. Mining My Own was the mare, and then Birdstone was the stallion, and he actually did win quite a big race. Jim, you want to talk about Birdstone?
No, well, Birdstone, yeah. I mean, Birdstone's just a great sire. So he won his own Belmont and went on to have a lot of nice progeny, a lot of good kids out there racing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Dave knows this, but the actor horse in the movie it has a connection to right here in the valley, Turf Paradise. I've been there several times.
Yes, yep.
So Sunday Rest, yep.
Sunday Rest. Yeah. That's the horse that plays Mind That in the movie.
Yes, he is.
Sunday Rest is a horse that we found up in Calgary. We looked at about 400 head of horses to cast this one, yeah. Because I didn't want, in a lot of the other pictures, Seabiscuit, Secretary, whatnot, use 8 or 9 horses to appear as the one. They've got one that does this, eats well, and one walks well, and one races. As well, and one sits well, or whatever it does.
So you have to deal with 8 agents.
Yeah, got to deal with 8 agents.
Oh,
is
no.
Right.
Not on this one.
Yeah.
We had one horse, and he did it
kidding.
All.
Yeah.
No, Sunday Rest did it all for us. He was super smart. And,
amazing.
Yeah, our trainer, Bill Lawrence, out of Washington State, found him up in Calgary at the Stampede and sent a photo down, and Jim took a look at it, sent it to the owners, and he was the guy. He said he's so smart, and by gosh, is he ever. He's so smart, you got to watch this guy, because he's a character too.
Well, do horses know, you know, that they're on camera? I mean, are they like characters like that?
Yeah, I think these horses pick everything up really quickly. I think they do. They're certainly trained around them now, so you have to bring them around camera so they get to hear our cadence and go. When people start, especially when you have big audiences, 200, 300, 400 people starting to clap in a winner's circle, you can't just all of a sudden say, okay, action, everyone starts clapping, that horse will freak. So you have to slowly train them and get them used to a couple of claps and then 20 claps and 50 claps and get them going, because these are thoroughbreds, highly strung, you know, animals. And so they've got to be trained up to everything you do around camera.
How long does that take to get them used to the clapping?
I think clapping's pretty quick, actually. You can do that in 4 or 5, you know, sessions. So you could do that in 4 or 5 days, you could get up to it. But for instance, this animal plays with water in a hose and just goes down and grabs a hose and starts watering himself and everybody. And so training takes a little bit of time.
Although I have to tell you, when we got to Albuquerque and Bill, we went to the arena that they were using with Bird to have our actress ride and get familiar with him and all of that, and because she does the exercising of Sunday Rest playing Mind That Bird, and Bill said, hey, come over here, I got to show you what he's doing. And he sits us down, and Sunday Rest goes over and picks up the hose, and I was shocked. I said, oh my gosh, you've got him doing that already? He says, well, it's only been 3 days, he's gonna do more. And I said, 3 days and he's picking up a hose? So yeah, he was so smart. Yeah. He picked up everything very quickly, and he actually took a piece of plywood and threw it in the arena, and Sunday Rest went over and stood on it, and he said, that's his mark. And he'd pick it up and throw it another place, and Sunday Rest would walk over and stand on it. So he's that smart. He was so good.
Now, Jim, you said you've owned horses for 25 years or so. Are they racehorses or different types? I'll give you an example. We did a live broadcast at the Arabian Horse Show. They're beautiful horses too.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Any Arabians?
Yeah, I've had a wide variety. So I've owned Warm Bloods and you name it, but I race thoroughbreds exclusively.
Wow.
So, and some of those thoroughbreds we retire and bring on to the little ranch I've got. So,
oh, neat.
Yeah, they're quarter horses and thoroughbreds and mixes and all of that.
So
yeah.
that's one reason that caught your interest in this movie, your own love for horses, plus the storyline.
Absolutely. No, I mean, the story just jumped off the page. I mean, Faith and I, as much as we researched it, it really wrote itself. It's these guys, you know, knew each other, the owner and trainer, when they're in their, you know, early 20s, and they met in a bar fight. I mean, an honest-to-goodness bar fight. One came to the other one's aid. One was getting the crap beat out of him.
Wow.
The other one jumped to his aid and said, I want to see this cowboy beat up. So they met in an absolute all-out bar brawl.
Which is something they would do on the weekends for fun. So no,
oh.
Yeah, that's cowboy weekend activity.
Yeah, so they're tequila drinking, God fearing, good loving boys from Roswell, the real deal.
Oh,
and,
wow!
Between that and Mind That Bird story, it was worth making. You bet.
Yeah.
And you're going to stick around with our with us for our next segment as well. We'll talk about a lot more, including your cast and all that. But you know, just so our listeners know, it's playing the movie again. It's called 50 to 1, and it is playing exclusively at Harkins Superstition Springs, Harkins Chandler Fashion Center, Harkins Shea. If you're up north, Harkins Prescott Valley. I've got a friend out there. And, of course, Harkins Tucson Spectrum as well. And, you know, if they want to meet you, is it both of you or?
Yep, we're both going.
Both of you. There's Q&As following the 4 p.m. showtime at Harkins Shea today.
Oh.
So today at 4 p.m., if you go see 50 to 1, you'll meet the filmmakers here. And also 6:45 p.m. showtime at Harkins Prescott Valley, if you want to head up there. And that's also today. Or tomorrow at 1:10 p.m. At Harkins Tucson Spectrum, that's where you can meet you guys as well.
That is excellent.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun because you can not only have you just seen the film, but you get to meet the filmmakers immediately, ask them questions. It's an open forum, so it's an open mic and have at us. You know, it's fun talking.
That,
about
it's sort of like the Phoenix Film Festival,
in a way
where you have the Q&A right after the movie.
And, no, I like that.
And they're going to stick around, but like I said, this is my favorite song by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. We're celebrating Jersey Boys today. I gave it a big thumbs up. You gave it a big thumbs up.
I did indeed.
This is Opus 17, my favorite song. By Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back with Faith Conroy and Jim Wilson, all about 50 to 1 right after this break.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.